Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. A remarkable Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Sam Brown, joins us. What a story on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program Sam Brown. He is Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, running in the primary against Adam Laxalt. With hopes to run against Catherine Cortez Masto for United States Senate. Pleasure to have you on the program here, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
We got to meet in Carson City during session and visit, and I was very impressed with your story. Would you please share your story with the public? Because a lot of them may not know your history, but tell us about what happened after 9/11.
Yeah, so after 9/11, the next month I was accepted to West Point. That sort of put me on the journey that's brought me here today. In a lot of sense, it started there. So I attended West Point from 2002 to 2006, graduated and was commissioned as an infantry officer. And you know, I had a feeling as I went to West Point that I would have an opportunity to lead troops in combat. And I had that honor and that responsibility in 2008. We were deployed to Kandahar, Afghanistan, and you know, one of the things that, as I look back on that time, you know, my position on our foreign policy and the way that we interact and use our military overseas has really shifted and changed a lot. You know, I've been on other media outlets speaking about how I don't believe that we should continue this sort of, you know, policing the world policy and using our military for nation building. But at the time, I was very much you know, I was taught that was a way that we ought to be using our military and counterinsurgency. Nation building was an appropriate use of that. And so that's what I led my troops to do. And in fact, in September of 08, that's when we were on a mission specifically to deliver turbines to a dam on the Helmand River. It's called the Kajaki Dam. This was supposed to be a great humanitarian project. You know, we were providing security for it. It was a multinational mission. And so we assisted in making sure the turbines got delivered to the dam. And then on the extraction of the forces that were delivering them, is whenever my fellow, another platoon from my company was ambushed. And so I was the closest friendly forces maneuvering to support them, and that's where my vehicle hit an IED, blew up, killed one of my soldiers, and left four of us wounded, and ultimately had to be medevaced to San Antonio to the Brooke Army Medical Center there, and started a 3-year journey in recovery, which was, as you can imagine, a very pivotal moment in my life. It changed a lot of things. Cut short my military career, but started a whole new life.
Okay, what changes did you go through? Because, I mean, I don't think that most of us who are watching and listening to you at this moment can even begin to understand what you must have gone through. What percentage of your body was burned?
So a little over 30% of my body was what we call full thickness burns. You might also consider it like third degree burns, meaning that all of that skin had to be, you know, essentially excised off and replaced with donor skin from other parts of my body. Unfortunately for me, I have a sort of an overhealing reaction called hypertrophic scarring. So where they would take skin off of other parts of my body to replace the burn, that area essentially responded like a burn as well. So now over 50% of my body is effectively left with these scars on them, some from burns, some from donor sites. It's interesting that I knew I was pretty bad off. In fact, when I was in Afghanistan, before they completely knocked me out and put me in a sort of a medically induced coma, I was able to get on a sat phone and call my parents. They didn't answer. I called my grandmother. She answered the phone. And she said, you know, she was very excited to hear my voice. You know, all she knows is her grandson is overseas. I said, oh, you know, Samuel, how are you? It's so good to hear from you. And I said, Mima, I need you to know that I'm going to be okay, but I'm hurt pretty bad and they're going to have to bring me home. And that was my mentality at the time was, they're going to take me back, I'll get bandaged up, I'll come back and join my soldiers. And so even for the next few months, I was telling my doctors, like, hey, just let me get through rehab as fast as possible. I'm going to go back and be with my soldiers, because I knew they had about 9 months left on deployment. They kept saying no, saying, like, you're pretty bad off. You're not going to be going back. And it took me a while to come to terms with that. Ultimately, I spent 3 years in and out of the OR, over 30 surgeries, 2 years of 5 days a week rehab, the third year, you know, rehab a couple of times a week. It was a long road, and probably emotionally one of the most taxing parts of that was dealing with being disfigured. You know, so much of our identity is tied up in our face and what we look like. And that was very, very difficult. And the face that folks see today isn't the face that I had to see for a while. This is a lot of plastic surgery, a lot of work, not original skin. And so going through that transformation was very emotionally taxing. But I got through it, and I attribute two things to that. One, just this was sort of a faith journey for me in believing that something good can come out of trials in our life. And I had my mother spent 6 months with me helping me recover. And then she sort of handed the baton off to someone who was Lieutenant Amy Larson at the time. And she was a dietitian in the burn unit and ultimately became my wife. And Amy's been by my side, you know, since then. I mean, we were married in May of 2009. So just, you know, about 9 months after I was wounded.
So, who did you become after all this from who you were when you went in?
Well, I became a sort of a leader and a servant without anyone to lead and no one to serve for a while. There was a period of time where I was really lost. And this happens with a lot of folks. In any sort of community, like military community, when you transition out and you know, you've only known that for so long. Like for me, I'd only wanted to serve in the military ever since I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old. That was my dream, that was my passion. So to have that cut short at, you know, effectively 24 years old was really difficult. It happens also, I've heard, like, you know, professional athletes really struggle after they get out of, you know, playing. So this is natural, but I was also a much more humble person. You know, at 24, before I got blown up, you know, you think you know everything in the world. You think you're bulletproof, you're invincible. And so to be reduced down physically the way I was, to you know, laying in a bed, not able to feed myself or even bathe myself, was a very humbling experience. And so I think one of the best lessons I took out of this was just the mindset and the sort of the life philosophy that the life I live is not my own. And
whose is it?
This was just a personal philosophy that I adopted. I've looked to see if I could attribute that quote to someone else, and I can't necessarily find it. But so it's just something that was impressed on my heart as I was recovering, was I should not have survived what I went through in Afghanistan. And the fact that I'm alive means I have some other purpose in life, and it's to serve others. And I just needed to find how to do that. And so since that time, you know, I figured that I can maybe serve somehow in business. And so, you know, I went back to school, got my MBA, you know, and this sort of comes from the humility standpoint of realizing I don't know everything. I used to think I did, but you start to, when you figure out that you don't, then you need to go back and kind of make some adjustments to life. And so I went back and got my MBA and started to work on trying to get a business set up to serve a community that I come from and I love, which is veterans. And today, you know, I have a business that provides pharmacy services to veterans through the VA clinics.
All right. I have to ask you this because, I mean, from what you went through, I would have to imagine you went through PTSD. Is that accurate?
For me, it's not. It's very common for folks to go through PTSD. And I don't know that we understand exactly why some people do and why some people don't. The thing that I can attribute it to for me is that I've always felt purpose and meaning. And I think that whenever you're isolated and you're lacking some purpose or meaning, that maybe that's where PTSD can creep in the most. But you know, Sam, like I was saying, and I didn't really dive into the details of exactly what happened when I was blown up, but I went through this moment where I truly gave up the will to live. I thought death was imminent, and I released my life. And in that next moment, when I heard the voice of one of my soldiers say, "Sir, I've got you," it took me from this place of hopelessness to a place of I guess just faith that I was going to survive. And not only that, survive that moment, but survive into the future for a reason. And so that always sort of drove me through my recovery even, and I knew that there was reason and a purpose behind it, and so I was able to, you know, lean forward into that.
One last question on this, because I want to get to the politics in the next segment here. Did you have faith before all this happened, or did faith come to you during or after?
I would say I was raised in a home where I went to church, but it was not, it was more of sort of a traditional, you know, ritualistic thing. It was not there was no real interaction with me in a deity. And so this is where faith became real. It became more than just an act, but an actual belief.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Captain Sam Brown, U.S. Army retired, running for the United States Senate, at least in the beginning, in a primary. We'll be right back.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please Stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Captain Sam Brown, United States Army, retired. He is running against Adam Laxalt in the primary that eventually will lead to a race with United States Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. Okay, so you and I had a discussion in Carson City during session. And I'm going to ask you basically the same question I asked you then, which is, why would you pick as your first political race a race for one of the highest offices in the state and the land, instead of doing something like running for the assembly, running for city council, so many different places? Why the biggest job you could possibly go for?
So the reason I've chosen to run for U.S. Senate is because we have a real need there. Unfortunately, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto has led much more in sort of alignment with, you know, Chuck Schumer and a Democrat Party that's moving further and further left each cycle. And I don't believe that represents Nevadans very well. I mean, this is a very purple state. You know, we're very evenly divided between Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. And so, you know, if you look at other races, I have Mark Amadei as our congressman. You know, Heidi Gansert as a state senator. Me running in those offices would be a part of a process of me, you know, being involved in politics for the sake of being in politics, as opposed to me trying to make a real difference. And so the U.S. Senate is a place where I think there's a need for a change on behalf of the state and on behalf of the country. And I don't desire to be a career politician. I don't want to go climb a ladder to get somewhere. I want to go get a certain job.
You're looking
done.
To be at the top of the ladder right off the bat. I'm not shocked because of your history that you would want to get to the goal right away. Initially in our conversation in Carson City, I talked to you about, you know, how much money you would have to raise to be even considered viable.
Right.
And at the time, you weren't.
Right.
But then you went on to Fox News, onto Laura Ingraham's show. And what happened?
Well, you know, I think people are seeing that, you know, there can be candidates that aren't necessarily grown up through the system who can still represent the needs of the people well, who can be strong leaders, who can be effective at fundraising. And people have just, you know, have attached themselves to this campaign. And when I say people have attached themselves to this campaign, I mean, Sam, this is a grassroots campaign at its core. We had over 12,000 donors in Q3 and raised over $1 million.
Let's stop there for a second. You raised over $1 million.
That's right.
And is that based off of that Fox News appearance?
Oh, no. You know, I think I even had a little bit of misconception as to what a Fox News interview would do for you. But, you know, we have the benefit of being able to see after an interview airs, you know, how much money kind of comes in. And you can attribute, you know, to a pretty high level of confidence how much money that actually brings in. And in general, $30,000 might be on the high end of how much money you'll raise from a Fox interview. So I wouldn't say that was necessarily the thing that made this happen.
Okay, so what did? Because $1 million is a lot of money for somebody who's an unknown candidate and unknown in the political world.
Right. Well, you know, I'm guessing part of it's word of mouth, you know, friends sharing with friends, and just a lot of people believing in me, you know, $10, $100, $200 at a time. Like I said, I mean, 12,000 donors, that's not a small number of folks.
Okay, but how did you reach them? And forgive me for pressing you on this, but I'm just kind of curious because that's an astonishing number for somebody in your position as a political candidate.
Well, largely social media. And so Twitter did me a favor in some sense of censoring me and then banning me because there was really no good justification for it. It's not like, you know, I'm not one of these you know, politicians that just wants to, you know, throw out, you know, mean tweets or, you know, make you know, vile points just for the sake of garnering attention. And in both cases, they admitted that, you know, it was their error. But doing that brought a lot of organic social media attention to, you know, my profile, to my candidacy, to my platform, to what we're doing. And, you know, I think a lot of it came through that.
And that really does speak to the power of social media. I was looking on Facebook last night prior to this interview and saw your ads that show that, you know, you were banned by Twitter. And that does make people stop and go, you know, why?
Well, Sam, you know, it's interesting. I started, in anticipation of considering this campaign, I started a Twitter account in April of this year. With zero followers. Today, I have over 73,000 followers. That's more than any other politician or candidate that I know of in the state. And, you know, my Instagram has over 13,500 followers. You know, once again, starting at zero. This is, people see something here that's different. You know, I'm not your typical sort of establishment Republican. I'm certainly not a Democrat. I'm here for the people. And you know, I want to lead, I want to listen. And one of the things I tell folks when I go to these meet and greets, or, you know, we had a great sort of rally in Minden 2 days ago, is I'm here to learn as well. I know that I'll be in rooms with people who are smarter than me. Let me learn, and I will go, you know, lead on behalf of the best information I have.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with Captain Sam Brown after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Captain Sam Brown. He's United States Army, retired, running against Adam Laxalt, with the hope of being the candidate who runs against Catherine Cortez Masto. So I went to your website, and I looked at On the Issues, Sam Brown for Nevada. And to be honest with you, as I look through all the different issues, I don't see the daylight between you and Adam Laxalt. What is the main difference between you and Adam Laxalt, and why do you think that you can be successful above him?
Well, you know, when you get down into policy, there's, you know, in broad strokes, probably not a whole lot of difference. Probably one of the areas that you could sort of look at and sort of slice out, you know, where are we different is, you know, who's going to work really hard to get out there, meet the people, represent the people, and it's clearly me. Adam's had an opportunity to run twice across this state, and you know, the fact that I've raised $1 million with him and all of his endorsements means that people clearly want something different. they don't want someone who has a birthright, you know, mentality to a position in office. And so I don't come with the, you know, sort of the attachments of special interest money that Adam has. My accountability is to the people, the people who fund this campaign, an average of $75 at a time. And so, you know, there's in Q3, all I can go off of is the numbers from Q3, but 1,500 Nevadans contributed to this campaign, and Adam only had about 300 Nevadans contribute to his campaign. So I'm answering to the people. Adam was recruited, endorsed, and funded by DC, and I'm being supported by Nevadans.
Okay, so how much money do you think you need to raise? Now, you've got the million, which mm-hmm. is outstanding, but how much do you think you need to raise to be competitive with a candidate who is going to be able to raise a much greater amount of money?
We're talking about the primary or the
yes,
general?
Yes, in the primary. Well, the general, it's going to be, you know, the candidates and the PACs.
Right.
So, you know, you're probably talking 30-plus million on either side.
Right. Well, we anticipate, and we're well on our way to be able to raise sort of a primary program of, you know, $3 million or more. That allows us to do what we need to do to beat Adam Laxalt in the primary. And then I fully anticipate that the country will rally around us in the general.
All right. I look forward to having you back on the program, get more into the details of your positions here. But what an amazing story, and thank you so much for telling it here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.